massive demonstrations, unprecedented demonstrations, because this is a real insult to the dignity of the Egyptian people, and they're not going to accept it. The Egyptian people, I lived there for a decade, and among ordinary Egyptian people, and they absolutely hate this man. They loathe Mubarak. In a way that people in other countries, in Arab countries, don't necessarily all hate their ruler. I lived in Saudi Arabia, and you would actually encounter people in Saudi Arabia who had some good things to say about the king. But I never in 10 years encountered anyone in Egypt who didn't loathe this individual. And I know that they're going to be very, very angry, and tomorrow they'll be out on the street in their millions. The question is, because the army is saying that it's going to re-establish order, whether tomorrow is a kind of tipping point in the sense that the army moves against the protesters, and if it does, there's going to be absolute chaos, massive violence, and we're going to see possibly one of the most violent revolutions in the history of the world.
And it was the army that triggered today's euphoria, if you like, the carnival atmosphere that we saw earlier in Tahrir Square by coming out with that, what, communique number one, it was a pretty vague statement, but the fact that they made this televised statement and also that the president wasn't chairing the meeting as he normally would, what, got people thinking a little prematurely perhaps or ahead of themselves?
Well, obviously, I'm in a state of shock as much as anyone else. I can't believe the sheer lack of dignity of this man who... this revolution is among the three most popular revolutions and the three biggest revolutions in history in terms of public participation. It's right up there with the 1917 Russian Revolution and the 1979 Iranian Revolution. The numbers are truly extraordinary, and the fact that he can stay on makes us ask, why is he staying on? And I think, although this is just my theory, it's Washington and Tel Aviv. He's been their puppet for 30 years, and obviously he's exploitable, but they fear the domino effect. If he had fled into exile this evening, other countries are very, very vulnerable, from Yemen to Algeria to Jordan to Bahrain. And although it doesn't get much publicity, the Bahrainis are calling for massive demonstrations on the 14th of February. Now, Bahrain is interesting because it's the only country left where Sunni minority rule over an oppressed Shia minority. And although that's very important for American interests, but it's also very important because if the Bahrainis rise up, as seems increasingly likely that they're going to on the 14th and in the days and weeks following that, there could be a very dramatic spillover effect in the eastern province of Saudi Arabia, which is majority Shia, who are also oppressed by their Sunni masters, who have very close historic and cultural ties to their Shia brethren in Bahrain, and that's where all the oil is. And so I think they're saying one thing in Washington and then doing another. It's one last desperate attempt to keep their puppet in power, and it's going to backfire terribly.
Thanks, John Bradley, author of Inside Egypt, The Land of the Pharaohs.